Welcome to the Software Outsourcing Show, brought to you by Accelerance, the global software outsourcing authority. Welcome to the Software Outsourcing Show. I'm your host, Bobby Durrell, and I'm really glad that you were able to join us today. If you're just joining us here on the show for the first time, you'll want to download some of our past episodes where we've covered topics on software development outsourcing that range from what is outsourcing, the history of software development outsourcing. We had a great interview with Steve Mezak and Andy Hilliard, the founders of Accelerance, on the current state of software development outsourcing, as well as our five-part series that we did on the risk indicators that are associated with software development outsourcing. Now, today on the show, we're going to discuss outsourcing to India. And you really can't discuss software development outsourcing without talking about India. It's the place where it all began. And joining me in the virtual studio is our resident expert on India and Southeast Asia, Hugh Morgan. Now, Hugh spent a number of years abroad, traveling extensively through India, Southeast Asia, and the Middle East. He began working in India in the mid-80s and just fell in love with the country. He spent time in almost every major hub in India, South Asia, and Southeast Asia. And you know what? We aren't even going to talk about his travels through the Western Hemisphere, just for the sake of time. Hugh, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Hey, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
Oh, sure thing. I enjoy you being able to join us, and I'm really excited that you wanted to come on and talk a little bit about outsourcing software development to India, because I know early on we talked about it, and really in episode one. We talked about the fact of how software outsourcing is so much more than just India. But really, when we get down to it, most people, when you say software outsourcing, I mean, the first place they think of is India.
Yeah, and of course, it's kind of where it got started, and so with good reason, and huge, you know, big industry there.
Yeah, and really, we find that India, it's a great place to still outsource your software. If it's right for you, if you're the right size corporation, if you're willing to work right in within their established means. So tell me a little bit. I talked a little bit that you've been around since the mid-80s. A lot of travel. But how about from Hugh's perspective? Let's talk about what's your background? How do you know so much about India?
Yeah, I worked a couple of years out of college, and I'd really wanted to spend some time working in the developing world. And as happens, I randomly got a chance to work in the south of India as a volunteer, teaching and doing construction at a trade school outside of Bangalore. And this is in the mid-80s, and Bangalore was not a tech hub. It was a beautiful, green, kind of mild city. And I spent about a year there, and then traveled for about another year, and traveled pretty extensively through India, and then have gone back, been back many, 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 many times. Additionally, also kind of randomly, my parents were immigrants from Scotland to Canada after the war, and my grandfather on my father's side, who I never knew, he died when I was very young, was a tea planter. He'd gone out to the colonies after World War One to Ceylon, now Sri Lanka, to learn how to manage tea plantations. And so we have kind of a family connection there. I've been to spend a lot of time in Sri Lanka, which was part of the Indian, or is part of the Indian subcontinent, separate country now. But that's my connection there.
Okay, wow. So actually quite a bit of connection and really even some heritage within that, correct?
Sure.
Yeah. So when was the last time you were over in the area?
Well, so I was there two times last year. So I was there last fall. Actually, had been in Sri Lanka, and the business school I went to here in the U.S. had a reunion, all India reunion in Chennai on the East Coast, Southeast Coast. Okay. That was fantastic. So I showed up for that and met all these amazing Indian grads starting businesses and running all manner of companies. And then I was there a little over a year ago, last spring, to look at meet existing and interview new partners, Accelerance partners. Actually, I was in India, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. So, yeah, okay. It's good. Love to get there.
So a lot of software travels in the area too, right? And can you talk a little bit about some of the software teams you've met, some of those software travels that you've had over in India?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, what's interesting In India now or today. And, you know, India is the great granddaddy of outsourcing. And I think we have over maybe 2,000 to 3,000 companies in our database just in India. And what we think of, what most people think of outsourcing in India is what we think, what we call outsourcing 1.0. So that's the, you know, build the massive team, put them in an office building, hire them incredibly inexpensively and just shove massive amounts of work over them, to them. And, you know, hey, communication quality, maybe will be mixed, but you're just saving so much money. You can't say no to it. Well, that's all changed. There's still massive teams over there. Every Fortune 500 company, you know, if you drive through Pune, Hyderabad, outside of Delhi, Bangalore, you see logos on buildings all over the place you'd recognize. So that's still going on, these very sort of massive teams. And we all know the kind of very large outsourcing providers like Infosys and Wipro and Capgemini and Cognizant that are, have become, you know, some of them are Indian, homegrown Indian companies that are really global now. But when I was last there, because we focus on the middle market and we focus on folks that develop software, we're looking for that kind of next generation of team. And that's what's been really interesting for me about India is you've seen in the last 5-10 years, a growth of a new type of company. We call it outsourcing 2.0, that's agile, lean, good at product development. Its team may have come from other startups. They're just very kind of American in the way they work. And the folks we screen for that kind of firm pretty carefully everywhere, but specifically in India. So that was that's kind of cool to you know, meet these companies there that are like that.
Yeah. And I've definitely had my time with Indian and Indian firms, and worked a lot with Infosys and Tata. Consulting TCS, I think is what they go by
right
now. As working with the really big consulting firms out there, the Arthur Andersons, the Accentures, you know, with their days past, you know, a lot of firms over there. And like you said, it's the big, massive unit that's running 24/7 around the clock. I don't even know when everybody sleeps in some of those cities, right? You know, they say that New York City is the city that never stops, and I think India is the country that never stops or never sleeps, right? And I know, you know, we've talked about that so many times that really outsourcing in India are almost synonymous. And like you said, it's the great granddaddy. It's the 800-pound gorilla of outsourcing. I think I've laughed and I've made this statement before that if we're to call Africa the cradle of humanity, I think we have to call India the cradle of outsourcing.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because when we talk about that, you mentioned the outsourcing 1.0 and the building of massive teams and everything. And I think, you know, a lot of people have a negative view of India when it comes to outsourcing, the software outsourcing and things like that. And what do you think has driven that? Is it from that past?
I think it's probably two or threefold. One is just cultural differences. And I think 15, 20 years ago, very few Indians, very few Americans had spent time in India. Mm-hmm. And you didn't have the Indian diaspora here in the U.S. was just kind of getting going in technology, particularly. Right. And so that so the I think cultural differences were huge, and you know, you have that made it difficult for Americans to understand how to communicate effectively with Indians, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I think. Back in the day, in the sort of first wave, was the fact that the focus was on volume and just this huge leverage. You know, I pay an Indian engineer a sixth of what I'm paying a guy here, and let's crank up the volume. So you're just, you know, you're not going to get quality. Right. And then I think the third thing, and this one, obviously, it hasn't changed. I think time zone is tough. I mean, it's a thing you got to really work with. If you work with an Indian firm, you know, it's pretty much halfway around the world for Americans. So there's no good. You got to be doing calls at 6 to 8 in the morning and at 8 to 10 at night. And, you know, if you're an engineering team or interfacing directly with an Indian team, you just got to deal with that. And that's hard. Right. That's hard on a technical team over a long period. So I think you put those three things together and they created a negative sort of aura or a potential negative aura.
Well, there's also the difference in no, right? We expect to be a lot more direct, and in India, it seems like in working with those firms, it's very hierarchical, and so the you've got to talk to the management, and the management's not really doing, but the guy that's doing it won't tell you because it's not his place because you're
right,
and I know. It's understanding that dynamic, right?
Yeah, and I think and that culture, particularly 20 years ago, was it was just hard for either side to understand one another. Right. And I think when I'm working with American or Western clients, I try to encourage them. I mean, with any culture, but particularly with India, to remember that we ourselves have our own ways of saving face. So we tend to think we're just super direct and matter of fact, and we just get stuff done, which we do. But we got lots of ways that we take cues from each other, that we don't embarrass the boss and things. So it's, I think being aware of that is super helpful. Mm-hmm. I think, as I mentioned earlier with the partners we look for, our partners, we tend to look for partners that have much younger teams that are very, very Western. They're not sitting around waiting for the boss to tell them what to do. They've worked at startups. They may have studied in the U.S. or they may be funded by an Indian who got very, did really well here in Silicon Valley. So that's really changed in the last 20 years.
Well, and that's that, that kind of leads me to what my next question was going to be is that old kind of stereotypical view of Indian software outsourcing, is that accurate in 2018? And I think the answer is yes and no. I mean, maybe for some older firms, but there are firms out there that it's just not.
Oh, yeah. Anymore. Yeah. I think you're right. Yes and no. I mean, you've got
okay.
You'll see fragments of it. You got to manage it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so you hit on it a little bit, and that was another thing that I really wanted us to talk about. And, when you mentioned it, Accelerants, right, with a database of, I think it's a worldwide total of something over 8,000 software outsourcing firms now. And again, a good quarter of those, 2,000, right there on the Indian subcontinent. So, and I know that's probably not even identifying everybody in India. So how do you find a great company in India? How do you get that signal to noise ratio down?
Yeah, and that's actually where it's a challenge, right? So most if you go to most outsourcing markets, if you go to Bolivia or Poland, you can do some research, talk to a few people. You can probably identify the big players. It'll be a little harder to find some of the smaller boutiques that we deal with. But India is a place where I think we especially can add value, because I think spending time there and having been on the ground there for years and having built relationships is really important. Mm-hmm. I like to say every market is a small market once you get to know it, but probably in India, you got to get to know Mumbai, and you got to get to know Delhi, and you got to get to know Chennai, and you got to get to know Hyderabad, because they're all pretty significant markets. The other thing I'd say or related to that, I think South Asia, one of the things I tell clients when I'm working with them here is it's good to remember every other culture in the world is more relational than U.S. business culture. U.S. business culture is incredibly transactional. Well, I think it's especially true in India or South Asia that relationships really matter. And having someone like us that spent time, that visited family, had meals, spent days with people really helps, because you hear stuff and you learn stuff and you know what's going on. So
yes, and just for fun, I generally like to do this, and just talking about software outsourcing in India, feel free to do your filtered result on Google, and I think it's something 27 million. So, you know, the proverbial go to the phone book and start at number one and start calling is not.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Not in a lifetime. Yeah. You'd have to hire an outsourcing firm to find the outsourcing firm, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
So what are some of those characteristics? Like, let's talk a little bit about that. And I know we hit on it a little bit because we are seeing a lot more Western culture, a lot more of people that have gone back home after coming and going to
school.
Yeah. And so let's can we talk a little bit about that? What are some characteristics we look for? What are some examples of things that we like to see?
Yeah, I think when we're looking for a good partner, we've got a number of screens that we use. So, you know, number one's great technical skills, and that's pretty straightforward to assess. Second is really good English, top to bottom in the organization. And that's actually, you know, India is a second language for most people there. Accents can be pretty heavy, but, you know, you're obviously screening for that. Third is company culture. And I think of that two ways. They're related. One is a culture that's adapted to working with American firms. So it's all this stuff we've been talking about not being as hierarchical and being more team oriented and using agile and things. It's also how do they take care of their people? So how do they source, onboard, retain their engineers or their anyone in their org, because they've got all the challenges we do in terms of giving people, making people feel accepted and belonging and having a career path. That's especially true in India today for two reasons. One is there's been an explosion in startups and technology. There's some amazing stuff going on there. It's a little bit like China that way. So that means any engineer that's working with you is obviously looking around and seeing all that happening, just like an engineer here. And, you know, you gotta manage that. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I would say 20 years ago, what an Indian engineer wanted to be able to tell his mother-in-law was that he worked for a big, stable company like Standard Chartered Bank or Tata or Infosys or Wipro or Accenture. Well, now the whole startup thing is, man, he's like, he'd rather tell his mother-in-law he's got equity in this amazing startup that he's working in. So the culture thing is, I think it's what's interesting is if you assume English and technical skills are a given, then that those sort of two pieces of the business culture become really important.
Mm-hmm. So, and basically, I mean, really what I'm hearing you explain is it's a lot like Silicon Valley, right? I mean, it's really the explosion and the growth that we saw 20 years ago in the States. It's moved on from that wanting to be in a big firm with a pension and planning on driving up. It's really started kind of taking hold. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. What? Let's talk a little bit about rates these days. What do Indian rates look like?
Yeah, I think that's the other difference between obviously now and 20 years ago is rates have gone up, you know, significantly. You don't get the 6-to-1 leverage on an engineer that you would have 20 years ago. They're still great, but they're increasing. So I think the thing to keep in mind is that if you hire a team in India, you'll probably have to, if you're getting low numbers today, you're going to have to increase them over the next couple of years pretty steadily. And you should be aware of that. I've talked to two or three, just in the last couple of months, I've talked to two or three VPs of engineering here in Silicon Valley, Indian, you know, from South Asia, running captive teams in Bangalore or Chennai. Mm-hmm. And they've all told me, yeah, man, it's just, I've got to keep upping my pay to take care of these guys, and they've got to feel loved, and it's just right. Part of what the expectation is there. So that's and I think you know, I'm a little we do an annual rate survey every year, and I'm just doing this, I'm just quoting these numbers from memory, but I want to say we like to quote the rate for a kind of blended rate for a scrum team. So think of a mid-level engineer, full stack, 3 to 4 to 6 years experience. Mm-hmm. You know, India's $30 to $40 an hour in our US all in. That's
okay.
Pretty good. Don't hold me to that, but,
sure,
but
sure. That's, yeah. Yeah, it like you said, it's not the 6-to-1 purchase, but it's maybe like a 1.5-2 is what
yeah.
I
it's
probably at now. There's still definitely some cost savings.
Yeah.
And let's talk a little bit about technologies. There's a lot of shredding technology coming out of India. What do you see as the biggest and the brightest trending there these days?
Yeah, India picks up new technologies pretty darn quickly. I think so you've got a pretty full spectrum of needs there, of abilities. So if you're and even some obscure ones. So if you've got some peculiar framework that you're using that is unusual, you can probably find someone in India that's working on it. Really good. What we're seeing what we've seen in the last year or two, really, really good data science people, because of the educational system there, and related to that or similar areas, machine learning and artificial intelligence. So you're seeing a lot of work in that. A little bit like Eastern Europe that way, in that you get these people that are just super theoretical and really well trained. You know, India's got a great network of very high quality engineers called Indian Institute of Technology, with campuses all over the country. Generates some really good people. Find IoT, you can find firmware if you need it, you know.
Well, and I know in the data science space, I think the last few projects I worked on with people, with outsourcing to India, when we were working on really doing some stuff around big data, data warehousing, and all that, I think I learned that almost everyone on the team had a PhD, right?
And the
couple that didn't were because they hadn't finished their dissertation yet. Simply amazing the brilliance that we really dealt with. And it was still all within that blended rate card. And I always think of, we've talked about this a lot, and not actually in the show yet, but just on the side, talking with some of the other guests, a lot of people think of outsourcing as really a cost player, a cost savings, but it's really more than that. I mean, there's truly, to some degree, a skills gap in North America.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really what we have to look for. And yes, there is some cost savings, but even if we tried to do it all in the States, I don't think we could. I don't.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. They're not, these guys, I've got a client in Chicago that is moving a product from a monolithic on-prem and private sort of private cloud architecture to microservices in the cloud. And we're specifically running we're doing a consulting gig around how you do that. And we're leveraging a partner who's got a couple of senior architects that have done this half a dozen times, right? That's not about, I mean, by the way, they're also a lot less expensive than an architect here would be, a senior architect. But the bigger thing is they've done it a bunch of times, so they know where the bodies are buried, they know the process. So it's a real addition to a value add.
Right. Well, it's like I always say, when I go in and the doctor's got to do a procedure on me, who do you want? You want the doctor that does it, five times a week, or the guy that's read a book on it,
Yeah. No, it's really true.
Saying either, one's better than the other.
I know who I'd take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what should American companies keep in mind when outsourcing to India? What's some of those gotchas? And I know we've kind of hit on it so far, but let's kind of grab down into it.
I think I'd probably, I'd actually probably think first about the time difference and think about how you're going to manage that. And by the way, a number of our partners will have, and we can provide onshore project managers or managers. And sometimes that's a great way to take the edge off those, 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. calls. Right. I think that's probably one of the biggest ones. If you're going to just set up a small team, probably not worth it, right? It's just too much work to set it up. Second, I'd say understand the culture. The sort of hierarchical wanting to please, say yes to the boss, still pretty important in the country. It's good to understand that. Thirdly, I'd say build a relationship. So, and this is something to take in mind. You go there. I know it's a long way. It's difficult. If you don't like Indian food, start figuring it out. It's an amazing cuisine, by the way. I love it. It's very regional. You know, it's an amazing right. thing. But food's obviously a great way to connect with folks and getting to know your team. If you go and spend a week with your team or 2 weeks with your team in Hyderabad, they will love you because you've shown you care. And, you know, that's important. So I'd say those are probably the three most important.
I found that, and you touched on that a little earlier, is the relationship. And, you know, it took me probably a couple of years into working with Indian teams to realize how important it was. And as a matter of fact, I think it's funny that, you know, you bring up Indian food. I was an advocate. I did not like Indian food. And it's because I didn't understand how to eat it. It's really what it
came down
to. And I remember making a comment, sitting in a war room one day, working with my counterparts. They were here in the States, and we were working through on something. And I realized that, you know, we had been ordering lunch in, and I hadn't been very thoughtful about, making sure that we had vegetarian options. And it kind of hit on me, and, everybody asked, hey, you know, can we have some Indian food? And I just made the comment. I said, sure, you know, and I'll find something else for me. I don't really care for it. The next day, you know, when we had the food come in, they were bringing stuff from home, and they, you know, here, you've got to try this and eat this way.
Yeah.
This is how you do. And I really gained a love for it. And I think as a team in that moment, we probably bonded more in that one aspect than, you know, we had in working together for 6 or 8 months prior to that. It was a very unique experience for me, and probably, you know, one of those first real aha moments I had on how much you need to be a student of culture and how much you need to really just understand where everybody's coming from. So great love for Indian food, and I do, it is very regional. You know, not a lot of steaks on the menu.
No, I'm not all I say. No. Although you can get it in the South, you can, believe it or not. Yeah. So,
yeah, you can, but it's just not as prevalent.
No.
So, you know, I think in the short run, or really, you know, India, yes, it is the big great granddaddy. I think you said that kind of cradle of software outsourcing, where it all began. But it's still a very viable option.
It's so
big. You gotta weed through, and you gotta find the right place to go.
That's true.
Yeah, and you know, for those that are listening, that are wondering, you know, I've got to give a content plug. I got to tell you that we do have a guide to software outsourcing in South Asia that'll give you more detailed information. It will be up along with the show notes from today. It'll be out there on the softwareoutsourcingshow.com. So, you know, please feel free to check that out. You know, come back, ask us any questions. We'll be happy to answer and help any more. Hugh, I want to thank you greatly for taking some time out and joining me in the virtual studio today. And hope to have you back soon when we can talk about some more adventures and more of your travels. Because I know every time I talk to you, you're somewhere different, right?
Great. No, we just got back late last night from Montreal, so where we spent a month. So back in the Bay Area. But yeah, good.
So now, where are you back to now from Montreal?
Yeah, from Montreal back in Silicon Valley. So I'll be here for a few months, and then we'll be down in Mexico. So, Bobby, thanks so much.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot, Hugh. Everyone else, thanks for listening to the Software Outsourcing Show. Like I said, you can always find the latest episodes and show notes on iTunes and SoundCloud or at softwareoutsourcingshow.com. And we hope to see you in a future episode. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Software Outsourcing Show, brought to you by Accelerants, the global software outsourcing authority. Do you have a topic you'd like covered in a future show? Then send us an email at podcast@softwareoutsourcingshow.com. podcast@softwareoutsourcingshow.com. Show notes, links, and materials discussed on today's show may be found on our website at softwareoutsourcingshow.com. That's softwareoutsourcingshow.com.